You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee again for this opportunity to meet together, Lord, and to open the Scriptures and allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives, teaching us all things. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Right, well, we're in Ephesians, and as per usual, I thought what we'd sort of go through are just a few quick things. We're moving through this guideline here, this outline, the structural outline of the book of Ephesians. And I pointed out last time that this word dispensation of the mystery is not in the King James Bible. It's not in the Greek of the King James Bible. That word dispensation is placed in there from the RV. And the revised version comes from a different text source than that of the King James. We do not have before us in my teaching, and I'm sure in the background of the teaching of the church, the RV. And so I want to show today why the word which is there in the King James makes sense, and why we can just simply believe the King James and see a lot more in it than what we'll see if we put dispensation. And I know there's a temptation for all of us who are teachers. If we come across a word from some other text that seems to fit with what we are teaching, there is a temptation to grab it. That is a mistake. Because the Scriptures themselves declare that He has magnified His word above all His name. And that's something we need to think about. Changing God's word is a serious thing. And you go to the end of the book of Revelation, you can see that God takes us very seriously indeed. So the word is important. And I want to look at that. So there's a number of things that I want to go through. I've entitled this Grace. Better watch this. I might reflect off here and bounce off something and hit you in the eye. So I told you about some silly people at airports have used lasers and started hitting the pilot's eyes with such things. It was, you know, pretty crazy things. But they can hurt your eyes, so watch out for lasers. So open your Bibles up to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 3, because that's where we're going to be sort of staying for a little while. And we looked at last time this idea of the threefold equality. And we came across these three words. Just let me read this to you in verse 6. Chapter 3 and verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Last time I pointed out that in fact there are different gospels mentioned in the book of Ephesians. And the gospel that's here, right in this local context, right here we're reading, is the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's no doubt about it. It's very clearly in the context. And so the joint partakers is by this gospel. And I made up this little chart here. And the word that goes in front of the various Greek words, kleronomos, soma, metokos, is this word sun. Su, coming from sun, which is with. And so basically what you've got here is the fellow heirs, the same body, the partakers, is this joint heirship, this same body which is a joint body, and this here joint partakers of His promise by the gospel, by the gospel. And when you think about this, this idea of this, for example, let's take the joint heirship here, the joint heirs, they're fitting together in such a way that there is complete equality. And when you look at the same body, the way that that works is that the thing fits together and moves and works together. And the joint partakers, well, that's by the promise of the gospel. And by the gospel. And so these joint partakers, people can come in and feel this tremendous equality that they are joint partakers by the preaching of this tremendous message, which is not preached. Go through the line of all the great preachers that we hear today. And many of them are. I think many of them are very, very good preachers in terms of the gospel. But when it comes to this gospel, which is right here in the context, we don't hear it. It is silent. To me, that is a mark that you need to take note of.
Because we need to think about how we are going to fulfill our function here at Northside Bible Church as a part of this greater universal church. What is our function here? And for too long, we, I think, have taken on the idea, well, it comes from the preacher. The preacher's it. You know? So, Wayne, he's up here and he's preaching and that's it. But the reality is that there is this joint body. And I want to discover something more about this. The energy that's in here, the type of ministry that should go on with the body, which is we don't see and we should encourage. We must encourage it. And so you see this preaching. There's two preachings here. One is chapter 2, verse 17, and came, that's Jesus, came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. And you notice, we've pointed out this before, first of all, to those afar off and to them that were nigh, the Jews. The order now is the other way around, you see? Now it's to those that are far off, that is the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh. Before it was the Jew first, and then the Gentile, was it not? It's quite a nice little thing going on here. You're seeing things reversed. And in Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach. Here it is, euangelizo, that is, heralding good news. Preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the gospel that's being brought out here. The first one here is all about the fact that the enmity has been slain in one body. So here we have the preachings that are mentioned in Ephesians and some tremendous instruction. Now, oh dear, we've got all this Greek here which is problematic for people, I guess. But I want you to see one thing. Just look in your Bible and then we'll look at the slide. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2 it says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, and then it goes, which? Well, the which is a relative and it must be referencing something which was said previously. Which is given me to youward. Now, what is it? Now, if you read the commentaries and some of the good dispensational ones, they get it wrong here. Now, why they're getting it wrong, I'm very suspicious. I'm suspicious because I know that they understand the grammar here. They understand it. But they are conveniently missing something. And what they do is they say this. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which dispensation is given me to youward? And we do feel the force of wanting to say that. But did you know that that is not true? And it's definitely not true? When it says, which, it's this word here, you see. And it reflects back to this, tes keratos, which is the grace. It's got to be. There's no doubt about it. So when it says here, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which grace is given me to youward? That's what it means. Which grace is given me to youward? Now, okay, settling that, if you come down to verse 9, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, as we find it in the King James, and you can see here, hei koinonia. That's the fellowship. And that is correctly translated as you would expect it to be. And you can see how this word fellowship comes about because it has to do with something that we have in common. The koine Greek is the common Greek. Right? That's the language of the New Testament Greek, koine. So you can see fellowship, that is, fellowship is based upon something that we have in common. And here, and to make all see, you can see the word photizai there, what is the fellowship of the mystery? Which? Now, can you see here the two? That reflects back to the two mysterio. Which mystery, you see, was hidden? Well, the same ideas of Greek grammar appear here and right throughout the Bible. There's no way around it. It's there. It's consistent. It's there. And that's what it is.
Cool.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do something which we have done before, but not quite in this context. I want to see now, as we traverse verses 2 down to 9, the grace. Because that is what he's talking about. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me? Which grace is given me to you would? To you would. So it's the grace that he's talking about. To me, and then he's towards you. Okay, cool. Now let's do that. So, we've done the which grace. Now, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Well, revelation is got to be of grace. It's given simply by God. It's consistent with the idea of grace. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. His knowledge, of course, came to him by revelation. It is of grace again. And so you get these two mysteries here, the mystery and the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is comparable and is built up from the Old Testament scriptures, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. Revealed, okay, again, by grace. It's a revelation by the Spirit. And then it says in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be, here it comes, fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Is grace consistent with all these things? The formation of this joint body, joint partakers, joint heirs, it's all by grace. Consistent, total grace. Grace is right here, right through it. And then it says in verse 7, whereof, okay, what's that reflecting back to? The gospel. And it's also consistent with this grammar that I'm showing you. Whereof I was made a minister, that's by grace. According to the gift, that's by grace. And look what it says, of the grace of God. Right? Okay, you're seeing grace in here, all the way through. Grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. The energia, the energy, the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least. Oh, look at this. Less than the least of all saints is this grace. Grace, again, right? All through here, the emphasis is not so much the dispensation, though it's there, but rather the grace that comes from this dispensation. And it says, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Grace. Now here comes the verse. And to make all men see what is the fellowship, the thing that we have in common and which is basically sourced from God's grace. Right? Fellowship, the thing we have in common of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. I hope you can see, therefore, that this idea of the fellowship is consistent with grace and the topic that is being developed all the way through here. So the lesson, I think, is don't change the scriptures. Look at verse 7. I want you to look a little closer at verse 7. It's talking about the gospel, and it says, whereof I was made a minister. Notice the pronoun, I, that's Paul, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. The effectual working of his power. There has been some working of his power in how the gospel
was given to Paul and how it came to him. It says the gift of the grace of God. And it came to him through the effectual working of his power. Now, if you just go on a little bit further down to chapter 4, which we read at the beginning, and I want you to go and just look at verse 11.
Chapter 4 and verse 11. And you'll notice as soon as we traverse these grounds, we go into the practical section. And I think this is important now to see. You know, this is what I'm doing now all the time. At Oklahoma University, when I come up to something, I don't grab it. I go like this. Tap! Yeah, there's a shock there. Everywhere I'm going, I'm going, okay. My wife is even worse. You know, she gets me to open all the doors. Whack! Okay. So what you have, you've seen this before. So this is chapter 3, verse 1. And chapter 4, verse 1, and that ends, well, rather, that begins the end of that chapter, which is about the, you know, all the stuff to do with dispensational truth and doctrinal truth. And then over here, you've got the start of the deportment, okay, which is the how we should walk worthy. And so we're now in this section here, and so this is practical truth. So when we come here, we should expect to see a lot of things in here which has to do with practical ideas. So in chapter 4, verse 11, he says, And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So the apostles and prophets and so on, right there, they are a foundation ministry. And then it continues on, evangelists, pastors and teachers, they continue on, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And it says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When it says a perfect man, that's male. So the metaphor here is male, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Man, that's a very powerful idea, isn't it? No more children tossed to and fro. The X period really is looked upon as a childlike state. And you should be moving out of that into this manhood. And verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now here comes the verse. Now this is the verse which you need to look at. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. The whole body. This is in this practical sense. You notice in verse 14, that we, so it's looking at the group, and that group is made up of individuals, that we, and then it goes on, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to, here's the word, the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now look at this. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying. What's that? The building. The building of itself in love. The building of itself. Wait a minute. Every part, there's this joint body, the susoma, that's made here, and how does it practically work? Well, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, I see here some kind of body ministry going on, right? It's working together. It's not just the preacher preaching and teaching. No, I see in here some kind of body ministry going on. It's a joint body. It's not, you know, Wayne Stewart and the toe. You know, no. I'm just one little part in this body, right? Then I've got my function. Thank God I know what it is. Do you know what your part is? Now, if you don't know what your part is, then we've got to find it, don't we? And this is what people will see, the fellowship, to make all men see what is the fellowship, the thing that we have in common, and how it works together. People will see this. That's what will make us unique. At the moment, people come in here and they say, oh, this is a Baptist church. If they don't listen, this is a Baptist church, right? If the guy comes in here, he's got the preaching, this is the congregation, and here's the preacher. But here I see something different. I see something created and made for us. And further than that, I see a joint heirship. You know, what is it? We have Israel. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why does it say that? Because that's that group inheritance there. They're all inheritors. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the inheritance. Okay, so what is unique about us? Well, it's this, isn't it? It's the God of the Sunkleronimos. It's the God of the joint heirs. Right? That's the thing that we've got to see. We are joint inheritors. And we've got this joint working together in the body. The question is, what is it going to be? And the other thing is, you can't say that there's no energy here to do it. Because the energy is there to do it. And the question is, do you want it? The same energy that's behind the power that raised Jesus up is there for you guys. Now, the question is, do you want it? Are you going to seek it out and look to see how you are going to play some part in this joint body? That's the question. And the more I think about it, the more revelation is coming to me about this. There's been some big truths come out in this epistle, hasn't there, already? Some big truths have come out. In Galatians, there's been some big ones. In Ephesians, there's been some big ones. One of the big ones that's come out here is this idea that there are a number of gospels, not simply in the Bible. Oh, no, we know that. That's clear. But there are a number of gospels in Ephesians. And there is the gospel of your salvation, okay? And it's proclaimed, and people will make a decision. They will say no to that gospel. And from that, there are consequences. There definitely are consequences. If they reject that, it's a serious one. They reject that, then they miss out on God's love for them in the ages to come. They miss out on life eternal. That's a huge decision to say no to that gospel. Those that say yes, well, there ought to be another gospel proclaimed to them. Unfortunately, it is not. That's how we've got to get in on this, right? That's our part in this whole process. There are plenty of people who can proclaim the gospel of your salvation. Life in Christ. Relating to the mystery of Christ. As Paul said, it's been proclaimed in various forms before, but he has the ultimate knowledge in this. Okay, so off it goes. These are the saved ones. Yes. You say yes to this gospel. Well, here comes another gospel. And it's the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's proclaimed. Some people will say yes to this. And by this, they become joint partakers. According to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, they become joint partakers with this. Some will say no. Some will say no. Well, what's going to happen to them? Well, they're not joint partakers. Does that mean that they don't have some inheritance? Well, they've got to have the default inheritance. And what is that? What are they believing in? Well, they'll believe in what was proclaimed during the book of Acts. They will see themselves as grafted into the olive of Israel. Their hope will be the hope of Israel. They will be looking forward to Jesus coming back to fulfill his place as the king over Israel. And they see their hope in there. That's their hope, right? They say no to this. Do they lose out on eternal life? No! They've been covered by the blood of Christ, right? They're saved. They're saved. By grace you are saved. But wait a minute. What's our responsibility here? Well, I'm telling you right now, we've got an awesome responsibility because we've got to preach this gospel and we've got to do it clearly. And it's become very clear to me some of the things that we need to do to make it clear. Okay? That's our responsibility. My responsibility, your responsibility, because we collectively will be making known what is this fellowship of the mystery in one way or another, as I'll point out. Look at this in verse number 7. Notice the pronoun. Wherefore I, minister, effectual, working, power. Verse 8, unto me. So verse 7, I, me, in verse 8. And he goes on, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men. See, verse 9 is connected with and. So it joins on to verse 8. And to make all men see. That is Paul. I, me. See, what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, and it says here in verse 10, to the intent. That means in order that. To the intent. In order that. Now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church. Oh, okay. The church. Bit different, right? Don't you see through here, you see Paul, okay? Now, Paul's not here now in body. So you've got I and me, which is Paul, the prisoner, right? There he's got this work, which is to do with the preaching of the gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then the other one here, which is making known all this tremendous material, the fellowship, you find the manifold wisdom of God, you find the church is doing that. So the church is making known the manifold wisdom. I, me, which is Paul, and then the church makes known the manifold wisdom of God. Do you see that? Paul, quite clearly. And then the church has got this function. Well, we know Paul says, you know, that in 2 Timothy that he ordained, you know, teachers, and he got Timothy to teach others also, so that they could go out and teach and proclaim. One of the things becomes clear to me that what we need to do in proclaiming the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ is simply to proclaim what Paul proclaimed. It's not a matter of the manifold wisdom of God. It's got to do with clearly stating what Paul preached. That's it. Don't try and make things real complicated. State and proclaim what Paul proclaimed. Okay, that's to do with the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, the manifold wisdom of God is something that the church is involved with, and that is a ministry to the principalities and powers. It's a wild book, isn't it? You think about what we're saying here. That means non-human beings. Yeah, well, just read it. Let's just read it again, right, just in case I've got this all wrong, because I could be completely misreading the Scriptures. So let's look at it again. Verse 10. To the intent. Stop. What does it mean, to the intent? It means in order that. That's what it means. Now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, not on the earth, might be known by the church through the instrument of the church, that's us, we have a part in that, the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, my friends. Principalities and powers in heavenly places. They're going to be learning something from us. The manifold wisdom of God. Now here's a question. Just a question. Is it possible that the manifold wisdom of God is something that Paul himself may not even know completely? What I'm saying is, Paul was inspired of God to produce and to write and to bring forward. He had a supreme understanding of the mystery of Christ. We know that. But wait a minute. The manifold wisdom of God is something that we as a church can be involved with, edifying itself. We can build ourselves up. Each person has a part in this, and we can look at the Scriptures. We can compare things and see things that perhaps no one else has seen before. Over here, look at this here, in chapter number 1, where Paul prays this. He prays in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Okay, this is talking about the, you know, getting this understanding and revelation. Revelation. You know, that's kind of an interesting thing. We're not saying that somehow God is going to give us by some direct speech what's going on, but certainly by looking at what has been written by Paul and written to us in this age, it's quite possible that we can see things in these Scriptures that even Paul may not have seen. A manifold wisdom of God, which, well, I mean, can't the principalities and powers read this? Come on. Why do they need us for, right? They can read this. Yeah, but wait a minute. They're observing us. They're observing, and they're observing people who have been energized. That's what it says, man, with this extreme power. It's available to us. There's no point in saying this. It's not available to us. It's available to us. And from this, we can compare Scripture with Scripture under this understanding of right division, and suddenly we discover something and the principalities learn. They say, hey, didn't know that before. I've read, I can see all Paul's epistles here, yeah, but I never heard that before. You see what I'm saying? Now, it's wild. I know it sounds wild. Truth is stranger than fiction. It's really wild stuff, but it's in the Scriptures. We've got to discover our place. One thing is this ministry to the principalities and powers. It's there. You either believe it or you don't. You say, I believe the Bible. Yeah, I know you believe the Bible, but that's a nice title you put across things. But when it comes right down to it, do you? This is a hard thing. I'll admit it, man. This is a hard thing because it seems so out there. Right? It does. It does seem out there. But do you believe that there are principalities and powers? Do you believe that? Because I do. I believe there's more to this creation than flesh and blood. I definitely believe that. I won't tell you what else I believe, which is part of a conviction. It's not from the Scriptures. It's just something that I believe about God after reading about Him in the Scriptures. One thing, I don't think He stopped creation. Do you think God, the Creator, has just stopped creating? I just don't believe it. I don't believe he stopped creating. And he's got the power to do all sorts of things in different dimensions. One of the things he's shown us about the dimension in which we live is that we should proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we know that the pronoun I and me is placed on that. And so therefore all we need to do is emulate Paul in doing that. The manifold wisdom, that's got to do with us, all of us, working that out. And working on the scriptures together, finding things out that no one else has seen before. You see what I'm saying? Fellowship. Now the other thing about fellowship is, of course, unity. So if people come into a fellowship like this, and all they say is, you filthy animal, you said that against me, and you did that, and you know, and all you're doing is fighting and scrapping, that's not going to work, right? Because, I mean, that's a contradiction of fellowship. What people ought to see is a church that is energized, working together, unified, and bringing forth manifold wisdom. Wise people. And they'll never see anything like that anywhere else. It's unique. And it comes from this sumatoka, this joint body. It's fantastic stuff. I mean, now the question of how we practically do this, I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to keep at it. I'm getting there. I'm building up some understanding of the uniqueness of this body and how we should work together. I'm excited about it. I see all of you in here. I know many of you here have tremendous talents. Talents I don't have. No, I don't have them. I've got some talents you don't have. But we'll work together with God's energizing power, and we can bring out this manifold wisdom of God with this tremendous fellowship that we have, that has been created by God. It didn't evolve out of the book of Acts. It was created. Here's something else. Let's get down to the personal, right? I think one of my faults as a teacher, I tend to move into this academic realm of, you know, it's sort of out there, and I don't get down to the practical. There is a practical thing about this. Look at this. In your own lives, in your own families, I look at my own family, right? And I'm a part of a family. There's three boys and one girl. My sister died when she was 37 of cancer. So it's leaving just the three boys. Now, amongst those three boys, there's a big range of understanding concerning the revelation of the mystery. In a family, it's quite possible that some of them will say no to the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's quite possible they will do that. Does that mean to say that they're lost? No, they're not lost. What is our function then to do? Well, we've got to show, see what it says here in chapter 4 and verse 16, right to the end there it says, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, and it ends with these great words, in love. In love. And that in love must surround the whole business of the manifold wisdom. And with time and with this witness, we may see that those people who originally within our families and friends who said no might at some stage in their life say, yes, I was wrong. I was wrong about that. And they will become joint partakers. Is that a good idea or not? I think that's a fantastic idea. We need to think about that and not ever write people off. Why? Because we don't know all these things that are going on with the hearts of people. They can change. They can change big time. I was a rejecter up to the age of 21 in a great Christian home. Me. Rejecter. I said, I believe in evolution and all this kind of garbage, you know. I didn't really believe it. It was just a rebellion. Some kind of rebellious spirit was in me, you know. And that's what I said, up to the age of 21. Then at the age of 21, on my bed, I realized I was lost. And I faced it. And that's when things began to change. It can happen, man. It's 21 years of my life. within your family, your friends.
Same sort of thing can happen, maybe to later life. Maybe they'll go right through into their 50s or whatever.
And then one day they'll wake up and say, oh man, I'm in this church and what have I learnt? Nothing! I've learnt nothing over these 30 years, any more than when I first came into this church. I've learnt nothing more. What was that church called? Northside Bible Church. That little group of people, they were saying something about this.
And they'll appear, and we'll see more and more people come. Now we're talking about numbers. Numbers are not it, but our ministry is. And we need to generate a ministry to people so that this fellowship can carry on. So that once we go to our eternal home, then this ministry will continue. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this life, for all that we've learnt, Lord. We ask You to help us in our ministry, in our words. All that we have learnt, Lord, we ask that we'd use it wisely and think before we open our mouths. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.